Welcome. Good to see each of you here tonight. As we continue in our series of flow, we've been throughout the month of August talking about flowing with the Holy Spirit, and particularly the ways in which He works, ways He manifests Himself, and talking about what are commonly referred to the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to continue with that tonight. But let's pray before we hop into that. Father, we thank You tonight. Hallelujah. We thank You tonight, Father, that You honor Your word to us, that You watch over it to perform it, that You're looking throughout the earth for someone, somewhere, that You can show Yourself strong on their behalf. And we thank You, Father, that You're faithful. We just heard James tell us and share a story about Your faithfulness. You're a faithful God. Over and over, we've experienced Your faithfulness, but we know You're faithful because Your word tells us how faithful You are. And we trust in Your word. Hallelujah. Now, Father, as we turn our attention to Your word tonight concerning how You manifest Yourself by Your Spirit in us and among us, we ask You to bring us light and revelation. We ask You to inspire us tonight, that we'd be inspired, that we would grow hungrier for the manifestations of the Spirit of God. Our desire would increase as we spend these moments here delighting ourselves in You, that our desire for the things of God, for spiritual things, for spiritual manifestations, for God working in us and among us, that our desire would increase. Hallelujah. We're going to taste a little tonight. And we know that when we taste what is good, it makes us want some more. So tonight, we're going to leave out of here and we're going to want more. And that's wonderful, because as we want and desire more, You are then able to manifest Yourself to a greater degree. We're thankful that You're going to be doing that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, if you will, open your Bible over to 1 Corinthians 12. Last week, I told you that Nate would be sharing this week on the power gifts. But after the service, sometime during the week last week, Nate and I were sort of meeting about this. And we decided we would keep it going a couple more weeks, at least next week, when it could very well be that Nate Barber will be here live in person talking about the power gifts. But you never know. But tonight, I want to continue on talking about some things about the revelation gifts. There were some things that went unsaid last week, which I know that's hard for you to imagine. There were things I didn't say. But the other thing is that I wanted the opportunity to share with you some things I think will inspire you. So I'll be able to do that before the end of the service. So I'm thankful for that. So thanks, Nate, for switching around here. Nate's just happy he didn't have to speak tonight. No, that's not true. He loves it when he gets to speak. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? All right, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. These are the verses that we've been reading. This is the foundational verses for this series. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And I just want to remind you, as we go through and talk about these gifts, what we're talking about is the way, or are the ways, that God manifests Himself. And so we're not talking about this, you know, very far removed category of happenings. These are just the ways. And I think that the Holy Spirit just inspired Paul to write these in response to things he had observed about how the Spirit of God works and how He, you know, reveals Himself, how His power flows. And so Paul, reading the Old Testament, then that was the only scripture they had, but then what he knew of how, what he'd been told about the ministry of Jesus and what he'd even witnessed in his own life, he noticed these patterns. And I think by the Holy Spirit, he was able to take these patterns and put this together and show us, so that we can look at it, not just so we can have some academic understanding of it, but so that we can know how God will manifest Himself to us, so we can cooperate with Him, so we can recognize when He's doing it, so we can desire these manifestations all the more than what we even do now. So that's why we're doing this, is to stir that up in you. And so it goes on to say, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. This all sounds like a lot of words, right? To another different kinds of tongues. In the King James, it says diverse kinds of tongues. I used to read that when I was a little kid, and I'd be like, what is that? diverse kinds of tongues, but it's different, or diversity of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. So, that when I get to that, I feel relieved because, all these concepts, but it's the Holy Spirit, and I know Him. The same Spirit, He works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now, the first set that we've talked about how you can divide these into groups of three. And the first set Nate talked about a couple weeks ago, they're the inspiration gifts, prophecy, those diverse kinds of tongues or different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. So he did a great job, talked about those. But and then last week I started talking about what we call the revelation gifts, the gifts that reveal or show something. And the first one of those that's mentioned here is the word of wisdom. Another is the word of knowledge. And then there's the gift of discerning of spirits. To another, discerning of spirits. So discerning of spirits. And just quickly, because some of you weren't here last week, and just those of you who were, to remind you, just a couple of things. The word of knowledge is really, it's God giving you something that He knows about what is or what has been. And He knows everything, so you never know what you might get from Him, something awesome. But it's a sudden, supernatural impartation of certain information, whether it's past or present. And so, as we've said, God knows everything. He possesses all knowledge. And so He just takes a small little bit of that knowledge, a word or phrase, just a little something. He takes a little part of the knowledge He has, not everything, but just a part of it, and he reveals it to you. And we'll talk in a few moments about how does He reveal it to you, but He reveals it to you. And so we can differentiate the word of knowledge from the word of wisdom, in that the word of knowledge is things that have already happened, knowledge of something that's already happened or something in the past, or a fact about something that now exists. But then the word of wisdom is very similar. It's again, it's this sudden supernatural impartation of knowledge, but it's knowing about something in the future. Now, I've heard people argue, and I think we've even had some discussion about what is the best gift. But I tell you, word of wisdom is a pretty awesome gift, to know things that are to come. Word of wisdom, knowing the future, for God to unveil to you the future. I mean, it's kind of cool to know something about the past, but somebody knows it if it's in the past. Somebody somewhere experienced it. I mean, in order for it to be knowledge, somewhere, somehow it exists. But word of wisdom, nobody knows the future except God Himself. And for Him to pull back the veil and give you a little glimpse of that, that's awesome. So I love that, but it involves something in the future. And then the gift of discerning of spirits. Again, we've talked about how this is not just discernment. There is discernment, but really the Bible word for discernment is wisdom. You know, it's what Proverbs talks a lot about, wisdom. It's that idea of just being wise. And certainly God will make you wise. But this is discerning particularly of spirits. And it's basically this. It's just seeing into the realm of the spirit. We know that there's more than just this realm where we can see with our natural sight, more than just what our flesh and you know, our own natural senses can perceive. There is a realm of the spirit. Heaven exists in the realm of the spirit. We don't perceive it with these natural eyes. We don't see it. Now, we know about it. We have faith in it. We have confidence in it. But we don't actually see it. But in the same way, here in this room, even presently here among us, there are many spiritual beings. Sometimes this kind of freaks you out. Think about this really late at night. All the dark, you know, you're in the dark. Everybody's asleep but you. And then you just start thinking about, there's spiritual beings here. Because there are. The Bible says that there are. The Bible talks about angels that surround us. So wherever I am, there's a whole bunch of angels. So I know they're here with me. They came with me. Because they're with me all the time. I need them. You need them. Wherever my kids are, there's a whole big flock of angels. Because they're there to take care of the kids. So probably your kids too, right? And you? Yeah. They're watching over us and they're protecting us. They're doing what the Bible describes as their job. They're to minister for us. And they're watching, and they're looking out for our best interest. They're doing all kinds of things to keep us, you know, from calamity. You don't have any idea how many times angels have intervened in your behalf. Have no idea. So though you're not necessarily aware tonight, you know, to perceive, we know, we trust, we believe that there are angelic beings here among us. But if suddenly, our eyes were opened into the realm of the spirit and we could see an angel, that would be a discerning of spirits. We'd see it. See something. Now, I've only seen an angel just on a couple of occasions, and I've never seen a full angel. One time, some years ago, when Jeremy Gall was here, he was standing over here, and I was sitting right there, and Jeremy was preaching, and behind Jeremy, there was this just slightly bigger, it just hung out from around him. There was someone that was very bright behind him, and wherever Jeremy was going, he was very close behind him, and he was doing, you know, standing like this with Jeremy, wherever Jeremy was going. That comforted me. Jeremy needs help. But I could see him. I couldn't see the full thing, but I knew immediately I was seeing an angel. And one time, right after we started the church, Janice, she'll remember this. Right, not just our daughter Molly, who's now 26, so we started the church 22 years ago, so she was maybe 5. We were still in that first building or something. We're in the car on the way home. She's maybe 2. No, 5. I just said that. I think that's how old she was. Something like that. And we're in the car, and you can see one of your girls doing this. And she just pipes up and says, "Daddy, what was that standing behind you today in church?" And he's like, "What?" And she said, "Those legs. Everywhere you went, there was those white legs behind you. What were they doing? Whose legs were those?" And she's just going on and on about this thing. And we're like, "What are you talking about?" And suddenly I realized she had seen an angel, the same angel, I guess, that was falling. Like an angel would be following Jeremy around, was following Matt, was with him, and she saw part of him, saw the lower half of him as she was moving. And it was just so matter-of-factly about she. I talked to her about it not long ago. She goes, "Yeah, I still remember that. It was so bright." And then we had a service, one of the best services ever in the history of Good News Church. We have laughing from people who were there. We're sitting, I don't remember if it's a Sunday morning or, do you remember what day it was? I think it was a night service. I think, whatever. We had our old church lady. When we started the church, Mike and Claire Netz were part of the church, and Claire always said, you know, "We're not a legitimate church until we have an old lady in the church," because that's, you know, every church's got to have a good old lady. We were only, you know, open a couple of months, and here came Carolyn Waddell. And Lord knows we didn't think we'd ever see her again when she first showed up. We're like, "This lady will not have anything to do with us. We're so different." She, you know, and she's back, and she's just all into it. And she comes into service one night, and she's sitting in the back. We're having service. And Neil, I think, was on the stage. I'm going to just tell the story the way I want to. Y'all can correct me later. But I think it was Neil, and was it my dad? It's back when my dad was still living. But anyway, all of a sudden, this is all I know. Carolyn gets up. She's a small, petite lady. She gets up, and she comes up the center aisle, and I promise you, you knew it was totally legitimate and real. You didn't have any question when you saw her, because she's going, it was the strangest thing, because she saw angels. And it was you talk about a change in the environment, things just changed. And we had a service, man, right after that, right after Carolyn saw the angel, we had a service. Do you remember that? So it was, should have been here. It was a great night. But anyway, we normally just had things like that going on here at Good News Church. But anyway, we'll have more of that. Why not? That's not just something for Carolyn Waddell back in the day, or Molly when she's a little girl. We'll have more of that. That's one reason we're talking about it. Remember, I told you when we started this, early on in the life of the church, one of the first series I ever did, I did a series called Eradicating Ignorance on Spiritual Gifts. But it worked. Ignorance was eradicated, and we had a lot more flowing. So it's one reason we're eradicating some more ignorance right here at the end of the summer, so we can have a fall full of the Holy Spirit manifesting himself. Who's with me? Praise the Lord. Okay. I just want to mention a little bit more about discerning the spirits. It's also seeing angels, seeing the Lord. I think if people see heaven or even have visions of heaven, that's discerning of spirits, seeing, you know, things that are in heaven. Also seeing demonic spirits, because there are demons, there are real. You don't have to be afraid of them. They're afraid of you. If you only had any idea how afraid they are of you. They're terrified of you because you have all authority over them. But they're real, and there's times that the Lord will show them to you. Most often, if you ever see a demon, the purpose for you seeing a demon, who knows, is so you can get rid of it, so you can cast it out. If you perceive a demon, see a demon, if God shows you there's a demonic presence, the response you have, yeah, they're telling it to me, get. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And it's not about, you know, oh, why have you come? No. No, and it's not anything like that. It's about getting rid of it. If the Lord ever shows you one, get rid of it. Don't just say, oh, okay, well, anyway, I might get distracted there. But let me just open this up to you. On the other hand, there are more, and I said this last week, there are more occasions when people saw angels than seeing demons. So I believe, according to biblical precedent, we'll see far more angels than we will demons. So that just be aware of that. And they usually, when you see in the scripture an angel comes, there's a reason, or there's an assignment. If they say something, there's an assignment. There's something going on. And I always like to, whatever's going on, I always ask the Lord, you know, what's this about? Because if he chooses to do something to manifest himself in some way, he has a purpose. Which brings me into some of the things we talked about last week. What's the purpose for these manifestations? Because they're not playthings, they're not toys, they're not, you know, entertainment, even though they may be entertaining, certainly. They're not to be toyed with or played with. They're precious because it's God, and it should be honored as such. It's a holy thing, which doesn't mean it's fragile. It means it's set apart for God. It's very much worthy of honor. But we need to know from him what the purpose of whatever manifestation that we're receiving or working, you know, that is at work. We need to know what the purpose is. And again, the best way I know is to look to the one who's manifesting himself to show us what is the purpose. What is it that's going on? And so we remember last week we went through some of the things we talked about, how sometimes the word of wisdom particularly the word of knowledge will come is a sign to an unbeliever. It's a way that God can give you supernatural knowledge and open up a pathway or doorway into somebody who may not be open, or it'll trigger some form of ministry in a way you can reach them. In fact, I just was back at prayer, and I was coming out of prayer before service, and Coleman saw me, and he said, let me tell you what happened to my mother today, Kathy, who comes to our church. She's not here tonight. He said, Kathy was at the house, and there were some people there doing some work, two men, and she walked in the room, and she said, which one of you is Roger? And they looked at her, and one guy said, me. She had no way of knowing knowledge, just knowing who Roger was. She just walked in the door and suddenly knew, one of these men's name is Roger, and you need to pray for him. And she just walked in the door and said, which one of you is Roger? One of them said to me. And she goes, I'm supposed to pray for you. And she just was able to minister to him. So it's that simple, guys. There were no starburst. We didn't hear, nothing like that. It was just her walking through the door, and suddenly she's like, one of these guys is named Roger, and you need to pray for him. Just that's a word of knowledge. That's cool, right? Supernatural. It should be happening all the time. That's how it is. So there you go. So, and Jesus, we see that with him, that the woman at the well, we talked about too, how there was a time where Jesus, and this happened several times, he would know what the crowd was thinking, but he wouldn't tell them that he knew what they were thinking. He would just use what he knew, and then he would teach. He would respond to them in a certain way based on the knowledge that God was giving him. So those are some things. We talked about Ananias and Sapphira and how Peter saw what had happened with them, that word of knowledge. And the purpose there was to keep the purity of the church and to not let sin come in, and that really prideful spirit that would come in, really what Pastor was talking about on Sunday. It was all about that evil that comes in when people are self-seeking. That's what Ananias and Sapphira were. And the church was in a very precious, vulnerable place. And that wasn't going to be getting in there and getting a foothold. Now, here's something. If the Lord gives you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or any manifestation of the Spirit, but if some knowledge comes to you, and I told you I've had that several times in my life where I just knew something and I had no way of knowing it, but I knew it and I knew it and I knew it as good as I know anything, and you couldn't have told me I didn't know it because I knew it, but I had no way of knowing. I had no evidence, but I knew it. What do you do with that? Well, if the Lord, again, if he's the one who gives me knowledge, he knows what he wants me to do with it. And so, is it so that I can, you know, gossip about it? You know, is it so I can just look at them and condemn them? You know, no, that's not what it's about. It's a reason. If nothing else, shouldn't I at least pray about it? Wouldn't that make sense? Sometimes the Lord wants you to go and confront a person. I've had that happen. Showed me something and I had to go and confront somebody. And they're like, who told you this? And I'm like, God? And they're like, I don't know how you knew that. And I'm like, me either, but that's how it was. But sometimes you're not supposed to tell people. You don't tell everything you know. So just keep that in mind. But just look to the one who gives you the word to show you what to do with it. And then I just mentioned this last week that part of the reason that God gives us words is to preserve us or keep us safe. Now, y'all, this is a really, really important part of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And you don't want to miss out on this. And I'm going to just tell you a quick story. This is you know how you have stories that are really, really like dear and near to you? They're precious. Well, this story is for me. It involves my oldest brother. Y'all don't know, some of you know him. His name is Sammy. And what kind of grown man is named Sammy? But he is. And he's a year older than Eddie, who's a year older than Timmy. Okay, so those are my brothers. And so Sammy, my oldest brother, has four kids. And his oldest son is the same age as Grayson. So Grayson's 20 and his son Andrew just turned 20 just in the last couple weeks. And Andrew was very young, very small. And my brother Sammy and his wife Jeanette and Andrew lived at a house over close to Augusta National. And they were moving. Her brother was there, and they were moving some things around, some furniture. And my brother Sammy drove a big, jacked up Jimmy. It's one of those. Do y'all know what that is? It's like a, it's the older kind with older model. It's really big and got really big tires and kind of, you know, stands up in there. What's this big car? So this is his, like a big SUV from the olden days. And so it was a Jimmy. That was the name of the car. So he's driving this. This is his vehicle. And so Rick, Jeanette's brother, needed to get in to the driveway to put his truck there so they could load something in it or whatever. And so Sammy was going to have to back out of the driveway. Well, here's where the story gets interesting. That morning, earlier that day, flashback, Sammy was in the shower, taking a shower. How many of y'all ever take showers? That's a good thing. Y'all keep that up. All right. And so Sammy was taking a shower. And while he's in the shower, just like you in your life, you're just going through life. You're probably in a hurry trying to get ready to go somewhere. It's what he's doing. In the middle of all the lather, he had a word of wisdom came to him. And it was the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him just and said, will you obey me? So it's a word that something is coming and I want you to obey me. And Sammy said, like you would, yeah, I'll obey you. And he's, you know. And then again, will you obey me? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll obey you. And then a third time, will you obey me? And when it came that time so strong, he turned off the water and he's like, what? Yeah, I'll obey you. Okay. It got, you know, got his attention. And that was it. Just that simple. So the word that came to him was even a question. What do you do with that? I don't know, but I think you should remember it. If that's the word you get, will you obey me? I think I'd be really quick to obey. How about you? Well, several hours later, now this little maneuver's going on outside with moving the trucks. Sammy's run outside now. And he jumps up in the Jimmy, flips it on, pulls it down into reverse. He's got his foot on the gas, and he's easing off, on the brake, and he's easing off the brake. And just as he did, that same, place that this word, "Will you obey me?" the word came, "Stop." Stop. Stop. And so, just in that moment, stop. And he looks around and thinks, stop. Why stop? And he went ahead and began to ease off the brake again. And again, that same place, that word comes, stop. And he, pushes back on the brake and he stops. And he looks around and he thinks, okay, stop. And he thinks, wow, what's going on? There's no cars coming. They lived on a cul-de-sac. There wasn't a lot of traffic. There's no cars coming. Jeanette's back, not back there. And Andrew, he's in the house. I just saw him a minute ago. He's in the playroom playing with Jeanette. Not there. Rick's not back. What? There's no furniture behind me or something behind me. I wonder what that is. So then he went to ease off the brake again. And when he went to ease off the brake, that time he heard it again. Stop! And when he heard it, stop! That time he suddenly remembered that morning he was in the shower. Will you obey me? And so he said, oh. And so he puts the car up into park. Puts the gear up in the park. And he looks around. And he's like, I don't know what this is about. Checks his rearview mirror. He sees nothing. And he says, okay. And so he opens the door. And as he opened the door, he went to push the door open. The mirror then, turned at a little different angle. And as it turned at a little different angle, suddenly, right behind his left taillight, this little head appeared. And Andrew had crawled out under a table that was against an open sliding door that Jeanette had opened for ventilation. There was a curtain there, and he had climbed under that table and through the curtain and had gotten out and was in the driveway, and he was standing right behind Sammy's left tire. And he was reaching up trying to hit the light, because every time Sammy would put the car through reverse or put it on put his foot off and on the gas, it would make the lights light up, and he was trying to tap the lights. And he's standing directly behind his left tire. And it would have been so easy to not obey. So easy to ignore just a word. But in that moment, just heeding to that word that was coming up within him that saved his son's life. Now think about that. Now here's the really crazy thing. Is within 2 days, within 48 hours of that, in another neighborhood nearby, the same thing happened. Except that father, he didn't heed the words he heard, if he heard them at all. And he ran over his son. Terrible. That wasn't the will of God in Christ Jesus for that boy any more than it was for my nephew. But we have to listen and cooperate. And just because God shows you something doesn't mean you got it. So I know that's a little dramatic, but that's a real true story, really happened. And it just shows me how much God wants to intervene. And how much and not only how much he wants to, how much he is intervening in our behalf and using his power to do amazing things. But we still have a part. We still have to listen. We still have to cooperate. We still have to get in line with what he's doing. Okay. So I have now a video I'm going to show you. It's a couple of videos. It'll take the rest of the service, so don't get nervous. And it's Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin is a ministry that we followed since the late 60s, when my parents got acquainted with Kenneth Hagin's ministry and then eventually became friends with the family. But I have to tell you, the ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin for me has always been that, watching and listening to a man who knows God in an unusual way, and someone who hears God and hears his voice and walks with God. And every time I hear him and or see his ministry, that always draws that in me. It makes me want to see God manifest himself in my life. I want to hear God's voice. I want to know God the way he knows God. And that's been this constant, you know, desire in my life. Well, Brother Hagin went on to be with the Lord 14 years ago. Next month, it'll be 14 years. But he can speak to us tonight because of technology. And this that we're going to see is actually from 1986. It's Winter Bible Seminar in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And here's something interesting. Guess who was at these meetings? Matt and Susie Judd, but I was still Susie Kennedy because we were students at ORU, and when we were at ORU, we'd go over to Rhema Bible Training Center and go over there for Winter Bible Seminar. So isn't that crazy? So I'm showing you something that I heard in 1986, but I can show it to you tonight. That's pretty cool, right? All right, you got them? There you go.
Amen. Now, I've had one or two experiences, and that doesn't mean that you're going to have that kind of experience all the time. But I've had one or two experiences, just like Elijah said, my spirit went with you. I know exactly what he's talking about. I remember after I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. Man, you speak with other tongues, you see. You get over here in the realm of dimension of the spirit you haven't been in before. Sort of hard on we Baptists, because we thought we had it all. Knew we didn't have much, but put on a big front, didn't we, John? And so I went up to a little town where I eventually met my wife. At this time, though, I hadn't started. Well, I barely met her, but there was a young lady in the church. I stayed home with one of the deacons, and he did his best. I mean, every meal he'd talk this young lady up to me. Now, she played the guitar and sang. Those days, you know, you wasn't in if you didn't play a guitar in Pentecostal circles. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. And so he had tried to talk her up to me. I never had a date with her, never went with her. But if we went somewhere to visit a revival or a young people's meeting, he'd always go by and get her and set the two of us up front with him, you see, and his family in the back. He was trying to work up a case between us. She had sang for us on Saturday night. But she wasn't there one Saturday night. I'm up preaching my sermon on Sunday morning. Strange experience. Never had another one like it since then. But preaching my sermon on Sunday morning. And right in the middle of my sermon, like Narble Hayes said, just minding my own business. And really, I saw that little old church, you know, and I don't guess a little old thing was, I mean, it wouldn't hold as many people as this one section does. Probably it would be full with about half of this section here. But I saw this cloud, white, looked like fog, like a cloud, like ocean, you know, waves, 4 or 5 feet tall, just come rolling in from the back. Man, I just kept preaching. But it just, when it covered the people, you couldn't see it. Come right on down, covered the pulpit. When it did then, I could hear the sound of my voice, but I couldn't distinguish any word I was saying. And then suddenly I was gone. I was standing, that's Tom Bean, Texas. Tom Bean. In those days they called me String Bean from Tom Bean. But those days are gone forever. And I weighed 138 pounds. And so there was a town 15 miles from us called Van Alstine in the southern part of Grayson County. Tom Bean, the southeastern corner of Grayson County. And everybody went to town on Saturday night. This little old town, about 1,500 population. My little old town where I was, population about 200. And then farmers all around. Most of my church are farmers. And it's Saturday night. I'm standing on the street up against a storefront. You know, and the sidewalks are full of people. I'm just standing there. And I see this young lady walking down the street, coming toward me. And then about the time she got even with me, there's a car coming down the street. And he pulled into the curb, parked, you know, in a parallel or, angle parking, sounded his horn and waved to her, and she came and got in the car with him. And then he backed out and went down the street, and it's just one block of business, went down there and made a U-turn and come back by. When he came back by, then I suddenly changed to standing in front of that car. I'm sitting in the back seat of the car. They went out in the country and committed adultery. And then the cloud started lifting, and it lifted, and I know when I looked at my watch, I had a good dollar watch. West clock. You ever see one of those pocket watches, West clock? They call them dollar watches. You know, they sold regularly for 79 cents. They'd put them on sale sometimes, 69, 59, 49. I've seen them 39. I give 49 for that one. In fact, I've still got it. Ken cut his teeth on it. That's what he used. We are so prosperous you couldn't even buy a teething ring. He cut his teeth on that watch. We still got it. Yes, sir. 49 cents. I know I looked at that thing. It's right on the pulpit when I left. And it was, when that lifted, 17 minutes had gone by. And I don't know one single word I said. So, when I got back to the place and I could command what I'm saying and know it with my understanding, then I just said, everybody bow your head and let's pray. Because I didn't know how to hook on to whatever I had been saying. I stayed in the home. By then, I was renting me a room there in town from other older men of the church, retired, I think 67, 8 years old, Brother and Sister Hollinshead. I paid $1.50 a week for room and board. Oh, she could cook. You talk about eating. $1.50 a week. These are depression days. You folks don't know anything. You young folks, by my, you ought to come through the depression. And so, I asked Brother Hollinshead then, I said, the last part of that message, the last 17 minutes of Sunday morning, my sermon, see, that afternoon we got back to the house, in fact, we ate Sunday dinner there. I said, was it all right? Oh, yeah. See, I didn't know one word to say. I said, did it fit into whatever else I said, what I was preaching on? Oh, yeah, fit in fine. Why? Well, I said, was there anything different about it? He said, why? I said, I just want to know. You tell me and then I'll tell you. Yeah. He said, I'll tell you. He said, man, the word just come pouring out of you. And he said, you couldn't hardly stand to look at you. Your face just shone so like an angel. Didn't ought to seem like you. Well, I wouldn't tell him what happened. I just simply said, well, I had an unusual experience. The reason I asked him was because I could hear the sound of my voice. I was caught up in the glory. Just let it go at that. And I heard the sound of my voice, but couldn't distinguish the words. I just wanted to be sure it fit in with my message all right. Oh, yeah, fit in fine. Now, I had much more, I said, this everybody bow your heads and pray. Sunday morning, you see. So we bowed our heads and prayed. And then we had the closing. And about the time that we are praying, our benediction, there's a car drove up in front and the platform's high. Not high like this one, but high enough as you can see out the window. We didn't have stained glass, that little old thing. We painted the bottom part of the glass, just with white paint or something, and the top part's open, And I can see through that. And I saw that same car and same man drive up out there and let her out. And so she came in right at the tail end of the thing. And then I'm standing at the door shaking hands with her left, and she come by and I shook hands with her and I said, we missed you last night. I said, yeah, I was over at Van Alstine. I said, yeah, I know it. But God just simply, my spirit went there. Elijah said, my spirit went with you to Georgia. Two or three times I've had that experience. Now he just did that for my own personal benefit. I just dropped that young lady like a hot iron. Amen. Better forget about her. I had another unusual experience. Teach positively. Glory to God. Now, I taught. Now, here was a family in our church that we knew that those other 2 years we were there. A family in our church that their daughter had disappeared 23 years before. She was 16 years old when she disappeared. Now, after she had disappeared, they'd all got saved, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, got in Pentecost. But she was in with the gang. I knew that. They told me that when I was there that first time. People talked about it. She was in with the gang. They were about to close in on this gang. Because she is 16 years old, the law figured that she had squealed on some of them, and they'd probably some of them gone to the electric chair for murder. And so they thought that they just killed her. They disposed of her because she just disappeared. They drugged the city lake looking for her body. Never did find it. All the family over this 23-year period had given up on the mother. I know because she told me, said, "I don't know, Brother Hagin. I just, in my spirit, I just feel like, you know, something tells me she's still alive." But we didn't pray about it or anything. Now, I come back to pastor there. I began to teach on gifts of the Spirit. I use one illustration here about it. This word of knowledge was manifested to discover a man in hiding about Saul. And some of them came to me and said, "Brother Hagin, you remember that story? You remember that?" "Oh yeah," I said, "I remember that. This girl disappeared. She'd be 39 years old now, 23 years before, when she's 16. See, she disappeared. Nobody had ever seen or heard of her. Now, doesn't God know whether she's dead or alive?" I said, "Well, sure, God knows everything. If she is alive, doesn't God know where she is?" I said, "Sure, he knows where everybody is. Would it be all right to pray about it?" Well, I didn't know whether it would or not. I don't know everything. Do you? I said, "No, I really don't know whether it would be all right or not. I don't guess it'd hurt." "Well, if it's all right," we had that little group, you know, that knew how to pray. Thank God. "If it's all right, we'll pray." I said, "Well, go ahead." So they began to pray about that. Pray. There's something about the Lord, you know. He's just a perfect gentleman. He won't even say anything to you unless you ask him. The Holy Ghost is right there to help you all the time. But if you ignore him, he just won't say a word to you. Just leave you hanging. Just leave you right there. So they began to pray. Well, one of the ladies, now I'll be honest with you, see, you have to evaluate these things right. Somebody, if I understand it, because I wasn't there at that particular prayer meeting, but somebody, I think, spoke with tongues, and really this lady just gave the interpretation, and what she was interpreting, she also saw in a vision form what she was telling them. And she saw the woman alive and had two children, teenagers, and she saw a living in a, just saw her and the children see the man, and saw living in a, looked like a garage apartment. By it was a foundation of a house, looked like it had burned, and the house is way off by itself. And right by it was a body of water, like a bio, like they are down around Houston. And then, you see, now that's a word of knowledge. Then God gave a word of wisdom. She said, in 30 days, her mother and daddy will receive a letter from her. Well, that happened on Wednesday afternoon. We went to church for Wednesday night. A couple of my deacons. God bless deacons. I don't mean that wrong. Bless their heart. Many good ones. And these were good fellows, just immature spiritually. They called me aside, because their wives were in that prayer meeting. And they called me aside, "Brother Hagin, you better do something about that now." I said, "Well, what am I going to do?" "Well, just squelch the thing. There can't be a bit of truth to that, because she's been dead for years." I said, "How do you know?" "Well, the law declared her dead. Everybody knows she's been dead for years. That's going to ruin our church." I said, "Now, men, wait just a minute. Now, if this interpretation and vision had come through anybody else except this little lady, little red-headed woman, In fact, I said, I just told him, right there, if it had come through either one of you, I wouldn't have believed it. That sort of got them, you know. They laughed about that. I said, well, boy, you're about right about that. I said, but coming through her, I have a tendency to believe it. Then beside that, I said, now, if we try to deal with this thing, and we are going to so-called straight, how are you going to straighten it out? Well, get up and make an announcement that there's nothing to it. I said, now, I'm not going to do a thing in the world about it. I'll tell you the truth about it. All we've got to do is just wait 30 days. And we all know whether there's anything to it or not. And then I said, if it does come to pass, which I'm prone to believe it will, knowing the channel that it came through, I'll be honest with you. I've heard things said through certain channels, and sometimes it did come to pass, all right, but I didn't believe it because I knew the people, bless their darling hearts. Are you listening to me? But there are others, I'm almost ready to believe, if they prophesied the sun arise in the west tomorrow, to get out and go look that direction. Of course, I know they're not going to, but you know what I mean. Because I know them. See? Now, I said, you see, if we do this, I'm not going to do it myself. And if you deacons start any problems here, then it comes to pass, everybody's going to find out what unspiritual deacons we have. Of course, I knew we had them anyway. But I didn't want the church to find out. But they'll all find out. See? You'll be caught with egg on your face, as the saying is. Man, they said, you're right. Well, we'll just wait. Well, 30 days, there was a letter came. The daddy, he was... this lady would be, if she's still home, you know, would be 39 years old. So he's older. And it was their baby child. Born in midlife. I mean, he's up there 70-something. He went to the post office, got the letter, never thought anything about it. Just put it in his pocket. Went home. That night, they're sitting around, you know, and they live with their one of their daughters. And she said, Daddy, did we get any mail today? Oh, yeah, there's a letter there in that coat, you know. So she went to him. His coat was hanging up just inside the door on a hanger. And so she got that and reached in and just, when she opened it, started yelling and hollering. They got the letter. It was her. Make a long story short, she came home. She and the two children, boys 18 years old, girl about 13, 14, 14, boys 18. When I gave an altar call Sunday morning, she came to the altar with the boy and got saved. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I mean, those deacons called me off against it. Oh, thank God, Brother Hagin. Thank God we listened to you. We listened to you. Oh, we're so glad. I tell you, from then on, the only thing I want to do there is with me. Oh, we're so glad you listened to us. You didn't listen to us. We would have made a mess of things. Now, see, we had a demonstration of the supernatural right there in front of us. I'm not going into detail why she didn't call. This, to make a long story short, older man knew they was going to kill her, so he took her and ran with her, member of the gang. And he wouldn't let her contact anybody for all those years. But anyway, why didn't the Lord tell us that before? Now see, here's what you got to realize. God does initiate some things on his own.
Sharon?
But the biggest...
There you go. That's it. He tells other great stories on this video. In fact, if you're on our Facebook group, I'll post this video so you can watch the whole thing because there's a lot of good stuff on it. Let's stand. As you can see, these are amazing stories. Praise God. But I don't believe God just wanted to do that back in whatever year that was. Well, that was 86 when he was telling it, but that was when he was still pastor, and so that would have been in the 40s probably. But he's still God now, right? So let's just close with prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. We just remind ourselves that you are the same. You're the same. You are the same. You are the same. And you're looking for people that you can show yourself strong on their behalf. You're looking for people who will trust you. You're looking for people who will cooperate, people who believe you. people who listen, obey. That's what you're looking for. And so, Father, we just take this moment. We offer ourselves. And Father, we desire for you to manifest yourself in us, through us, among us, in whatever way that you desire. And even beyond that, Father, to things that we may initiate by our own faith, but you meet up with them on the other side at your discretion with a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, or any of the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you so much, Father, that you're good and that you desire to do good and you desire to use your power on our behalf for the profit of all. Hallelujah. And we just praise you and thank you for it. Praise be to God. We thank you, Father, for manifestations, gifts flowing, words, discerning of spirit. Thank you for it, Father, for the inspiration gifts and the power gifts, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.